It's a Saturday morning breakfast show for me, Rob Harvey, and on the line from Naked Lunch is the man himself, Tony Mayo. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning. God, I'm tired. This is a bit early, isn't it?
Yeah, we'll carry on that pretext, won't we, you know, of keeping it awake when the sun shines out. It's not that easy to sleep on these kind of weekends, but there's a new album afoot from the Naked Lunch chaps and chapess, should I say.
Yeah, and just so everybody does know, yeah, Jet does actually play on the album. Jet does do some backing vocals on some of the tracks. And Jet plays lead synth on two of the tracks as well. And although we'd written the material prior to Jet joining us, she has contributed in the completion of them.
So a new member of the band, but, you know, playing in her own right, in her own stead. Yeah.
Yeah, because what happened was we remember down because Mick was with us playing live when we did Baz originally, but Mick went back to Newcastle. And we were originally discussing back in 2012, strangely enough. Then last year it transpired after this committee rehearsals of discussing doing some collaborations. It then came a natural thing that why doesn't she become part of the band?
Yeah, yeah.
And it works out really well because we all get on very well all together, you know, creatively as people. The main thing that which people don't probably pick up is Paul and I are slightly bonkers.
Well, it does help.
Yeah. And we have strong bonkers sort of characteristics.
Right.
And Cliff's kind of quiet. Mark's kind of quiet and sober and fairly sort of like stable and that.
Yeah.
You got the two of us slightly out there. And Jet's sort of in between and it works nice. She tends to give us a good balance.
Yeah. Well, you need balance. I mean, originally from 1979...
Yeah, it's a long time ago. I remember the old adverts in the NME, Melody Maker, and that was the time we were going and watching like B-52s playing in London and other things like that. So we're really into playing stuff live, and we realised that what you do recording, you can't necessarily do live. And when we do record, we tend to sort of like go forever just deciding whether we like something or not, and we can spend ages. Unfortunately, she's been the driving force between like, now you've got to finish it. You know, it has to be done. You're like, okay then.
Finish and move on,
yeah, you know. You got to make a decision and stick with it, sure, you know. But is this bit right? You know, and you're like, for God's sake, of course it's right, is it? No, I want to think about it a bit more, but no, we've actually for once made decisions like Fade Away on the album, the last track on the album. That, we actually recorded that in 2 weeks, which for us is a miracle. And that involved getting Mick Clark to send some stuff down, Paul recording his stuff in London, sending it up.
Yeah.
Then the other bits being sent all shipped in, then putting them together, finishing it all, and sending it off for mixing and mastering. And that was done, how can I put it, it's not that it wasn't done with any thought, but it was done without any worry.
Yeah.
It was done just as if we were playing live and we just did it.
Because that's the thing about playing live is nobody wants to go, I definitely don't want to go and see what I hear on the actual recorded stuff. I want to hear a little bit more, a little bit extra. And from a musician's point of view, you can't help yourself but want to go with the flow of what you're actually doing there and then.
Exactly. And the thing with live is you've got the audience and there is a feedback between you and the audience. And if you try and just recreate a record, it's pointless, it's sterile, and it's boring.
Yeah.
And this is why we like having, in Mark was actually having the drummer. Because having your drums all basically already pre-programmed coming through as part of a rhythm track, there's no spontaneity in it. And Mark, excellent, thumbs up to you, Mark, he's gone and got himself a Yamaha electronic drum kit now, so we're getting those awesome sounds live. But it also means that we won't be having to put the fold back up ridiculously loud just to drown out the drums so we can hear what we're doing. You know, we tend to like him to be there and projections. And when we did the Roundhouse gig, and even when we did the Slime Lights, we had Kevin come down who did the projections when we first met him at Baz 2. And he did some awesome projections for us. And we get on really well with Kevin because he also did our website.
Yeah, he's a master.
He is. And we like the imagery and we sort of like the idea that we discuss what we're doing. And like you've probably seen the artwork for the album, we've also worked with the same artist all the way through with the same sort of like sci-fi theme all the way through. There was a review about that, sort of going about this sci-fi retro feel and what we're doing. We must have been into all that. And I was just chatting to Cliff this evening. And funny enough, back in those days, we were watching things like The Twilight Zone and all those sort of programs. And obviously, we're watching things like Star Trek now, the new Star Trek films, and all the sci-fi stuff. So we're sort of thinking, in the old days, we used to moan about the titles we were given, but obviously we were into all that sort of like sci-fi stuff. It's cool.
These are themes that do reoccur in people's lives. I mean, the difference is the only difference is, I would say, is fashion, i.e. the style of sci-fi was indicative to the fashion of the day, but we're still looking at sci-fi today in this similar kind of things, you know, outer space, aliens, creations, computers, and, you know, those kind of things. The themes are very much the same. They just, technology might be a lot more polished these days.
yeah, exactly. And we went for the idea of the taking a slight slant from the 50s feel, but also then putting it with the the post-apocalyptic thing now, but also with the Judge Dredd. It worked quite well. Funny enough, the album cover, though, we got that rocket on the album cover with the two of them floating.
Yeah.
The concept of them being free.
Yeah.
It goes from you remember the Baz gig, where those two things at the side saying free from the shackles, etc.
Yeah.
By the side, the idea is they've escaped now. The idea of the album is we're free and we've taken off, so we're free from all that. But it struck me as funny. Then we've got that, and then this film Gravity comes out.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. These things just, they do come round. I think people look at things from a different way. It's like writing love songs, you know. It's inexhaustible, but sometimes people don't really explore them enough. And I think that's what's happening here, definitely with a few bands like yourself who are exploring it a lot more. I mean, the album itself, I mean, you know, was it sort of, you know, all from that kind of theme, or was you sort of looking back and forth for inspiration?
Well, funny enough, the songs we just wrote as we normally do, we just did them as we felt them and did them there and then. And two of them are actually, strangely enough, are about mental health issues. That's alone in emotional turmoil, and the concepts of people being disengaged from, because that's seeing what's going on with people, and lots of youths and people committing suicide and doing strange things because they feel so alone and isolated. Weekend Behaviour, which was written back in 1980, strangely enough, was about the concept of people going up and beating up other people because they're different. Which, again, fits in with now. Rabies was a complete tongue-in-cheek Mickey take of love songs, to be quite honest. and that goes back to, that was originally a punk track, so that was actually in a punk band I was in, which was then brought into Naked Lunch.
There's definitely, I was going to say to you, I always felt there was a punk underbelly to Naked Lunch, and you just explained it to me there.
Well, we all were punks.
Yeah.
This is it. This is where we come from. That's why it's got that feel about it. Although you go to electronic bands, and we were and are an electronic band, we do have that punky edge to us because that's where we come from. You saw us at Baz. And our approach to playing is probably slightly different to the other electronic bands. And the way we our demeanour on stage, we're not scared of being on stage. We're not apprehensive of being on stage.
Mm-hmm.
We view live as being our natural environment and not the studio. And back in 1980, when we were first out there doing Electronic Indoctrination Tour, when it was all new, hostility to electronic music was awful throughout the country, and the abuse that we had, and some of the violence that came around, hence us writing songs like Weekend Behaviour. But having audiences which are nice and relaxed into it, as it became in 81, was really nice and refreshing. But it meant that we become very relaxed with playing live and used to anything going wrong.
Well, people still think, even to this day, especially with the invent of computers and stuff like that, that it's still electronic music. It's still a case of you press a button and the machine creates the music, and all you do is waffle around it, and that's it. You just press a button. Job's done. And that was a little bit of the attitude in the early days before it was computers, that basically it's not real because you've got a computer playing, but it's just an instrument at the end of the day.
Exactly, and it's what you do with it and what you create with it and how you adjust it and change it and turn it into something. That was the big thing we had against drum machines.
Mm-hmm.
The drum machine already had a pre-programmed drum pattern, and it wasn't you, and you should have come up with your own drum pattern. And use all this stuff, but change it to be what you want it to be. You know, that's all the part of creativity. I must say that when we played at Slime Light, there was a synth pop band on whose name I can't remember. It's one of the support bands. It's two guys, and yeah. They were brilliant.
Yeah.
They reminded me of the old days. They reminded me like the sort of buzz you got seeing Yazoo, Depeche Mode, and a few other bands. They had that energy and that stage presence.
Yeah.
And it's awful. I can't remember their name, but I really, really enjoyed them.
So we did touch on a couple of times, and I mentioned it before I spoke to you, that we're announcing that you're going to be a special guest for Baz 2014. And
honoured. We're really, really, yeah. You know, pleased to have been asked. I got contacted on Tuesday and asked if we wouldn't. Said, yeah, of course, because we're very supportive of Baz, and we're very supportive of trying to promote electronic music. It's not just about us coming back. We didn't come back as a bunch of egocentric toe rags trying to large it up. We've come back to try to give something back to the music, to try to help it to sort of push forward. And doing Baz again, and we view that as sort of like helping our roots.
Yeah,
and if it's helping other bands to move forward, that's brilliant. And hopefully we'll be doing more gigs this year. And,
excellent.
If we get them arranged, we will then look to try to get bands to play with us as well and try to give other bands a crack at the whip at playing live and being seen by audiences.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that you've kind of done quite a lot, really, been putting these things together. And as Baz and people like that know, setting up events like these is not the easiest thing. People think you just turn up and there's a load of bands to play and it's really easy. But getting events on like this seems to be still hard work.
I think it really is hard work, and the big difference I can see nowadays from before, obviously it's taken us a while to sort of gel into what's going on now compared to what we used to have when we gigged before.
Yeah.
The audiences are different. It's to get people to be motivated to come out. People find music so much more disposable now with so much digital flotsam out there on the internet and all over the place. And it's to get people to engage and to realise that seeing bands live is so different. There's a different vibe to it. The live music, I'm going to sound like someone from the Musicians Union, aren't I? but live music is really where it's at, and it's not necessarily just supporting us as a band who have been there and we're out now doing it again. It's the other bands that are coming forward. New music does not come from Simon Cowell and that awful TV program. It comes from the Roots people who are writing music, they're going out and gigging and exposing it to people, they're going away and reworking on it and getting their ideas together and perfecting their art. Those people need support, and they're not going to be there as artists if there aren't live gigs. And new electronic artists need that support to come forward as well.
Indeed. I think in this day and age, for me, the word cult band or a band, an underground band, doesn't really exist, because it's all that means really is they're not being discovered. You know, back in the day, there was bands who weren't trying to be the next biggest thing. They were trying to be themselves, and they amassed a large following as accordingly. And then the record company thought, oh, I'll have a bar of that, and then brought them to the fore. Whereas these day and age, it seems to be like almost at the reverse.
Yeah, and there's no substance to them. It's a cult of celebrity. You need to have some depth. You need to have experience. You need to have got out there and understood what it's all about, and not just be something that's set up, used, and discarded. And we've got this idea where there's mass commercialism, and I'm not going to knock any of the bands in the charts, like the rest, etc., because they have the place, and what they do well, as do people from all sorts of genres do well, which is good. But it's just a shame that what we have is with a lot of the media, they forget all the other stuff. That you're obviously one of the DJs and one of the stations where you recognise other genres and other artists, and you give them support, and I commend you for that, and Phoenix. But there's lots of people who don't remember it and forget about it, and you have to support these people.
Yeah. I think in this day and age it is, and also it is down. I don't want to be, you know, like you say, you're not going to knock those other artists, cause, and I'm not going to knock the other stations, but it seems to be left now to stations like ourselves to actually look for bands, not just electronic bands, but all sorts of artists, to give them that platform when, you know, we was hoping that we was going to change, you know, that the BBC never had the stranglehold and all the commercial stations would be more there. But now it seems to have almost gone with loads more station, but less opportunity. It just doesn't make no sense.
You remember that big revolution that occurred where the power of the major rail companies was removed. You had all the independents.
Yeah.
And then the independents got sucked in by the majors. Now you have a few FM stations like yourself around the UK who are supportive of different stuff, and they take the risk and they'll push it through. And you've got the global internet radio shows trying to do things as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So you've still got this underground going on.
Yeah.
But it's how you tap in and pull it all together, and it's difficult. The key thing is the youth, the younger people today, they've got so much problems going on that they're probably more concentrated on trying to go to uni, get jobs, and what's happening. I remember when we were doing the punk thing and all that, that again is high unemployment, and there was lots of stuff to do with complaining and protesting, and I haven't noticed much protesting going on recently.
These things seem to be, and always had been, part and parcel of the creative way of songwriting and music. I mean, even the most unobvious love song was about something. You know, now it's almost not about anything.
Yeah, it tends to be sort of some passé thing that will sell it as much as possible. It's really overly sentimental. We open the album with We Are, and it's basically like an anarchist anthem. It's the concept is that we are all one, you know, everybody's all together. You know, it's a sort of this idea that you've got all this global stuff going on. Let's be honest, there's lots of stuff going on. There's lots of issues happening. No one's really touching the barge pole. But there's a hell of a lot going on. It's impacted on everybody. And what we're saying in the course is we are humanity, we are one. And it's awful. There's nothing out there. There's no Bob Dylan. There's nobody doing anything in a demonstrating way.
Now, we've got lots of trendy singer-songwriters at the moment with their acoustic guitars, but they don't seem to be saying anything, really. And I know that's a sweeping statement, and I think that's for another conversation. But well, we're looking forward to... I'm definitely looking forward now. I know the news, and I think everyone else now knows the news. Going to see you guys live at PAS 2014, and should be a great time.
I'm looking forward to it too, and obviously we will come out the front and we'll stand around and we'll chat to everybody afterwards. We might even do that beforehand, but we might be backstage all joking around before we go on, but we'll definitely chat to everybody afterwards.
Brilliant. Well, thanks for your time, Tony. It's nice to catch up with you again, and looking forward to seeing you in the flesh and hearing you guys live.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing you too, and hopefully it'll all be good fun, and we'll see loads of you people there.
We'll do. Lovely. Thank you. Cheers.
Thanks. See you then. Bye.
Bye.